and welcome to another episode of Sound Radar, Games Radar's video game music and audio podcast. I'm your host, Sophia Tong, and today we've got a full house with three talented composers who all collaborated on the recently released Mass Effect 3. Joining me is Sam Hulick. Hello.
Hi there.
How's it going?
Not too bad.
And next we have Chris Velasco.
Hey, Sophia.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Thanks for being here. And then last but not least, Sasha Dikichian. I probably botched that last name, didn't I?
that was perfect.
Well, thank you all for joining me. Congrats to all of you on Mass Effect 3. It's a wonderful score and a fantastic game from what I hear, since I kind of haven't gotten around to playing it yet, since I'm still kind of working on the others. But I want to start from the beginning, and I'm kind of interested in hearing this from all of you. So Sasha, how did you first get into composing music for video games?
Well, I always had, you know, huge thing for games ever since a little kid. And, you know, starting with the Commodore computers, Amiga, through all the stuff in the 80s. And my other passion was music. Grew up with playing the piano. Music was always in the family. And then I moved over to LA, actually not particularly to do music for video games, but to study music. And then after I studied, I, you know, was at the point where, okay, well, what am I going to do? And that was right around the time when games actually started to come out with the, you know, CD format. So you could actually have real music playing while you play the game. And it wasn't just MIDI or some annoying sounds. It was real music. And so that kind of made me think. And I thought, why not combine you know, my two favorite passions together. And I started with scoring. My first gig was Quake 2 in 97. And that was that.
And how about you, Chris?
Sort of similar, where I had those same two interests. I was actually studying composition at UCLA. And I had just played this game called Outcast while I was there, which I believe was one of the first video game scores to be recorded live. I don't think it was the first, but it was one of them. And it was, you know, it was super epic. It was definitely not what I thought of as a game score at the time. And it was exactly the style of music that I really loved to write. So I started looking into that more as a, you know, as a viable career choice for music. And I actually mentioned that to my professors at UCLA. And they were really down on the idea, and, you know, were calling it low art and telling me I was I was of no use to their department anymore if I was going to follow that sort of route. Anyways, I did it anyways, and I got my first gig a few years later, and it was Battlestar Galactica for Vivendi Universal.
Wow! See, sometimes it pays off to like not listen to other people. And how about you, Sam?
Well, like the other guys, I started off in games at a young age, and I actually had an Amiga computer just like Sasha did. Not to copy off you, man, but that was my main gaming system, actually, in the 80s. Actually, late 80s, early 90s. I kind of skipped a lot of the early consoles. Everyone else except me had Nintendo and Super Nintendo, and I kind of was on the Amiga at the time because it had the best graphics and sound of any of the computer systems. And the music was actually pretty good, too. It was all tracker-based, which is kind of hard to explain. I think Sasha has a better grasp on how that works in detail. But, you know, these games like Shadow of the Beast were big. Psygnosis was a big company that really targeted the Amiga and had all these amazing games with great graphics and sound. And so I kind of started using trackers to write my own music. I just pursued that for several years. And I guess my entrance into the industry was I joined the Game Audio Network Guild. And there was a composer contest that I won in 2003. And then shortly after that, I was hired by Tommy Tallarico to work on Maximo versus Army of Zin.
Cool. And then, so Sam, you've been involved in all three Mass Effect games. Like, how did you initially get the gig for the first one?
It was kind of funny, actually. I met Jack Wall at GDC. I don't remember which one it was, because after like seven, they kind of blur together, you know?
They do.
Yeah, it has something to do with the alcohol, maybe. I don't know. But I think it was around 2005 or six, probably 2005. And he had heard my music before, and we were just chatting. And BioWare was asking people to demo for Mass Effect, which at the time had some kind of code name. It wasn't called Mass Effect yet. And I believe Jack was busy, so he actually recommended me to BioWare as an option. So I started the demo process and pitching on the gig. And in the end, it turns out Jack was actually freed up, and so we wound up competing for the same project. And so they hired Jack, and then shortly after that point, I guess they were talking about my demo, and they both, you know, Jack and BioWare liked it a lot, and so I was brought on to pitch in on Mass Effect 1.
Sasha, you two have worked together on several projects and joined the Mass Effect universe in the last game with the DLC. So how did you two get involved?
Last year, Rob Blake, who was the audio lead on it, gave us a call and was asking if we were interested in doing that. It was Kasumi's Stolen Memory. It was the DLC. We of course jumped at the chance to get on board the franchise, and then, you know, a few months later, we got the call to do the Arrival DLC, which was supposed to bridge the gap between ME2 and ME3, and that was how we sort of got on board with BioWare. And then late fall, I guess, of 2011, we got the call again to come on board and do a big chunk of the Mass Effect 3 score.
So Mass Effect, like other large franchises, have like really hefty scores, and there's usually a big team contributing to it. So do you guys collaborate with one another, or are you guys given special assignments and like parts of the game to compose for?
Me and Chris, I mean, we you know, tend to always work on these kind of big scores together anyways. So we pretty much got, you know, each of the composer teams or single composer gets an assigned set of levels or cinematics to score, and I think that's how we worked, right, guys?
Yeah, actually, that process started on Mass Effect 2. On Mass Effect 1, it was kind of random. Like, we would just get assigned tracks here and there, and it worked out okay. But it was definitely more organized on Mass Effect 2 when people were just given entire levels. That way, it's like, you know, it's more cohesive of a sound throughout the whole level.
It's definitely, you know, I mean, Mass Effect is a big game, so having extreme consistency is a bit difficult since, you know, like, I mean, for example, Sam and us, we are really never sort of communicating when we're composing, but everybody knows what the sound of Mass Effect is, so that's the great thing about it. So when you listen to the score or you play the game, it sort of like doesn't really jump out in your face, like, you know, like doesn't sound like it's three or four different composers necessarily. But at the same time, they need to get the music done in a certain amount of time. And I think for one single composer, it would be really difficult to do, you know. But yeah, I mean, that's how this would work. And then, you know, Chris and I would consolidate with each other. You know, everybody has ideas, and we would just work from there.
Yeah, just what Sam was saying before, how it used to be more split up, you know, this time around, we each we would be assigned a whole level, which could have, you know, anywhere from like 5 to 15 minutes of music probably. And I think that helped keep the sound a little more consistent as well, instead of having, you know, each composer working within the same level.
Right. Because even though it's true that you can kind of aim towards a certain sound that matches, everyone has their own styles, and so having it grouped together makes the transition less jarring for the player.
And then Sam, we know that there have been changes to the music team, you know, since Mass Effect, the first one, and so how did that affect how you guys approach the score for Mass Effect 3?
You know, there was this kind of goal to get back to the sound of Mass Effect 1, which is kind of I don't want to say it's more synth heavy. It kind of is, but it's just the tone of it. And there's like a simplicity there that we went back to in Mass Effect 3. Mass Effect 2 had a more cinematic sound. I think it was just kind of the natural evolution of the soundtrack and adjusting the tone of the score to match the story, because the story's gotten bigger and bigger throughout the trilogy. You know, it started off as this kind of epic sci-fi story, which has gotten even bigger in the last installment, and I think the music had to adjust to that. But stylistically, I think, you know, there was a lot of demand from people to, you know, to get back to the roots, and I think we managed to pull that off.
For me personally, when those guys scored already Mass Effect 1, we were not involved, but I was always a big fan, and obviously I'm the more electronic guy. You know, it's pretty much a dream come true to work on a project like this, because they went, like Sam said, from the first one, which was, in my opinion, was indeed a bit more heavy electronic orientated, to a more cinematic sound, and now basically having the best of both worlds. You know, there's just some scenes that require more, really just an orchestral approach to convey certain emotional aspects. But I think overall, we kind of like pushed the boundaries a bit more on this one, at least for myself and for our own side of the score in terms of electronically. You know, just because it's just asking for it, you know, it's so easy to just make it orchestral. So adding these little flavors of electronic elements, which is really what people love, I think makes it really unique, you know. And we sort of just, you know, stepped it up a little bit, I think, for this third part.
Chris, so what was your process when it came to actually sitting down and approaching the tracks that you needed to create?
Gosh, you know, it's like any other score, really. I don't think our process changed specifically for this one. This being the third score, obviously there was, you know, a lot of reference material. And, you know, Sasha and I are used to working on scores where they say, oh, you know, can you make it sound like this? And it's usually, you know, whatever flavor of the month is going through Hollywood at the moment. And it was kind of cool on this one because, you know, they were referencing our own tracks from ME2 on this. So, you know, we had a pretty good idea of where we were going. And then just the Rob and Mike, the audio directors, they're really good about sending us a lot of art and screenshots and videos. And you know, the game itself was kind of our inspiration.
And was it mostly done by the time that you had a chance to join in on the project, or was it something that you were involved with from the very beginning?
No, it was mostly done. So we got a really good look of what the final product was going to be like.
And then Sasha, you have an extensive list of games that you've worked on, you know, over the years, and you also do, you said, musical sound design as well. So how do you approach your music, and how do you like it compared to the sound design?
Well, the reason why I say musical sound design is because I have obviously a thing for, well, I really don't want to sound like everybody else. So always what I do first thing before I start a project is I will come up with sounds that I like, that I think are fitting. Like in this case for Mass Effect, you know, the inspiration goes back all the way to the 80s. You know, Vangelis, Tangerine Dream, these were like, you know, artists that were sort of like laid the foundation for the sound, in my opinion, sort of like inspires. And so you have a pretty good idea what the sound is, and then you pretty much sit down and, you know, do the sound design magic or whatever you do it here at the computer. And once I have like a batch of samples, and, you know, like especially a lot of arpeggios, you know, once I have a lot of these sounds, then I will actually start composing and sit down and say to myself, okay, what does this track need? But yeah, I mean, I could go in really detail about the process, but it's probably just hard to explain without showing it, actually, you being here physically, you know, and hearing it. But I don't know, Mass Effect is just a lot of fun, just because I'm a huge fan of the 80s, you know, a huge fan of scores of the 80s. And I have a huge thing for analog synthesizers, which I have used extensively on the score, real hardware. And then a combination of putting this all together, coming up with this original sound, and then layering, you know, the orchestra together, with working with Chris together, is really, even though it's a bit more challenging, but really, at the end, really rewarding to do.
And Sam, how do you approach your work?
the other guys pretty much covered a lot of it. My personal approach, I mean, it's similar for us because we have materials like concept art and videos that we look at, and it's challenging sometimes with the cinematics because they're not complete renders, and so it looks a bit odd. You see a lot of people running around in what I call pajamas. It's like there's no armor. They're just they have like these unitards they're running around in, and they're shooting at things that aren't there, and it can be challenging to kind of immerse yourself in that kind of environment and score for it. But for my orchestral stuff, I like to start off and sketch piano first as kind of an outline for what I'm going to do. I find that the stuff that I start with piano sketches tends to be, I don't know, it feels more complete. And the final orchestrated version has a better sense of movement and structure to it.
It sounds like BioWare kind of knew your strengths, and did they kind of pick out, like, you know, what type of sound that they wanted to hear from each of you?
Absolutely. For me and Chris, I mean, Sam was already on board from the beginning, so that was kind of like a given to bring him back. But for us, it was sort of like the DLCs were our showcase to them, you know, showing that we can do it. And I guess that, you know, they really loved working with us, and BioWare is great to work for, you know, so of course.
So for Chris and Sasha, do you guys find it easier to work together on projects? And when do you think it would be more beneficial to work solo?
Oh, it's terrible. It's like, you know, we have a bottle of tequila right here every time we work together. No, it's. I think, you know, it started, I mean, Chris and I worked together. We've been working together since 2005, I believe. And I think that during that time, there wasn't really anybody sort of like teaming up in a sense of like having, you know, two people with each of the person focusing on what they're best at. And I was sort of at a turning point during that time where I said, you know, well, I know how to do orchestra a little bit, but I'm not really good enough for it. It's sort of like the thing where you're kind of admitting to yourself, where are my strengths and where are my weaknesses? And this is something you have to, you know, if you want to be a good musician, I think. And so I just reached out and was trying to find somebody who can kind of complete that end, you know, really do a better job. And so when we got together, it's, you know, we have the same interests in movies and soundtracks. So we kind of don't step on each other's toes a lot of times, maybe sometimes. but I think it's just great, you know. So, I mean, when Chris has ideas and they're electronically, you know, he can voice those, and vice versa. You know, there's a lot of orchestral ideas that I have that he will listen to and take seriously. And why are you laughing, dude? Come on.
No, I take them very seriously.
Anyways, I mean, as you can tell, it has been, you know, it has been a good ride so far.
So how closely do you guys get to work with BioWare and get feedback? Like, is it constant, or is it like you're pretty much done, you send it back and maybe some tweaks? Like,
yeah, we work really closely with them. It's, you know, during the process, we're pretty much talking to them, you know, several times a week, sometimes daily, depends on what you're doing. But yeah, the feedback process for some tracks is shorter. You know, like, it's just you write it and then send it in, and there's a draft, and they say, sounds great, finish it, it's done. Other tracks, you know, especially ones that are kind of more important as far as story goes, like very closely tied to story, and they have to have the right feel. There's a little more back and forth on those, where it's like, you know, tweak this a bit more, no, a little bit more, and until it's what they consider to be, you know, fitting for the scene.
How is Mass Effect 3 or this Mass Effect series different or similar to some of the other video game projects that you've worked on, Chris?
I mean, you know, it's always awesome to work on a game that you know is actually going to be good. I mean, we never treat the score any differently. You know, you always do your best job and treat it as if it's a big AAA project. But, you know, in the case of Mass Effect, it actually was. And I think it even pushes you a little bit harder to try to really do your very best work, because you know how many people, how many fans are waiting for this, and myself included. You know, I'm a huge fan of the franchise. So it's just a lot of fun to work on a project that just has you know, such a history to it, and the, you know, the resources behind it, and, you know, the support of BioWare. And I mean, it's obviously a huge title.
It's never easy to join you know, a game like that where there's already an established fan base, and, you know, there's expectations. And it wasn't like we had like a ton of time to actually prepare for to score this game, but Yeah, I mean, what Chris said, you know, it's it was definitely, I mean, the kind of call when afterwards, when you hang up the phone, you go, okay, I got to step it up now, you know?
There's a lot of pressure, you know, for a lot of reasons, like the guys have said, you know, a lot of fans who are looking forward to this, and the fact that it's the third part, it's the end of the trilogy, and there's so much more writing on that. And so there's this extra kind of, you know, besides the pressure of deadlines and writing good stuff, there's this extra pressure there of like, you know, is it going to turn out okay? Are the, you know, people going to be like, oh, this is crap, or are they going to love it? And there's a lot of, like Sasha said, a lot of expectations there.
Yeah, absolutely. And we know those BioWare fans are pretty,
Well, especially with the, you know, internet, everybody has an opinion, you know, these days. It's like, you know, you're kind of thinking about all these fans and you go, oh boy, you know, what am I going to do, you know? But, you know, at the end of the day, I think you know what people really want. And, you know, if you're capable and if you focus, you know, I think you can kind of use that fear, or fear in quotes, and kind of use it to motivate you and really just, you know, work hard.
So what was the most challenging piece of music that you had to write for Mass Effect 3, Sasha?
I think challenging. I think each of the levels were always a new challenge. I mean, I kind of approach each piece like it's the, you know, the most important thing in the game. And I think there was one piece that was meant for something else. And it when Rob, our sound boss, came back and said, you know, I like this piece, but it's not going to work for this one. So let's use that as one of the menu, the character creation screen when you actually create your character for the game. And so after he said that, of course, I realized, okay, this is probably going to be a track that people will hear for maybe a lot longer than some of the other cues. So, you know, that one maybe had, you know, needed a bit more attention. But other than that, I think all the other cues were equally challenging, in my opinion.
For me personally, the combat stuff tends to be challenging, especially just getting on the project. You know, you kind of have to de-rust yourself a bit and get back into the flow of things. And initially, the combat was a bit challenging. In the end, the last cinematic in the game, just because it was, I guess, the last one, and it was super important to BioWare to get it right. And that piece, it started off pretty smooth, but there's a middle section that had to be tweaked, and the ending that gets all crazy. That ending part was a challenge, because at first it was just, you know, the music gets louder and it cuts off. And I was talking to Rob about it, and he's like, well, we want it so the orchestra just goes crazy and, like, you know, dissonant notes and all over the place. And so I did that. I just took all these instruments and pitch bent them in different directions, just really crazy. And that was closer, but it wasn't quite there yet. So I had a guy who mixed my stuff for me. His name's John Rod. He worked on Assassin's Creed stuff, and he was mixing stuff. And I just told John, you know what, just all the faders at the end, just crank them all up. And that did the trick. So they just wanted that extra intensity, it was just volume wise. And yeah, that the last piece was really probably one of the most challenging pieces I had to work on.
Yeah, definitely an important one. A lot of people bring it up.
I mean, this kind of goes back to your earlier question, though, because it is just in Mass Effect 3. So you got to treat sort of almost every cue with the same importance in order to, you know, sort of get up to that level where, especially for myself personally, where I'm really happy with stuff, because I'm never really happy with stuff, where I just say, okay, you know, this is really getting there to the point of where I can say to myself, this is really cool. But I would kind of like concur with Sam that battle cues are definitely more challenging than the ambient cues, for sure.
The additional tough thing about combat is that, you know, there's a timing thing. They want, like, say 2 minutes, and, you know, maybe for an ambient piece at 100 BPM, that's no problem. But if it's like 160 beats per minute, to fill that 2 minutes up, it takes extra effort to do that.
Yeah, I think for me, some of the most challenging stuff that, you know, there's the game is actually pretty emotional, and you know, it's a fine line between just, you know, nailing it and then going overboard too much and kind of making things sappy. So there was that. And then also there was a lot of levels that were almost like kind of like horror movie-ish. And, you know, it's one thing, you know, it's easy to write just a kind of a dissonant horror score, but to keep it within the realm of Mass Effect, I also thought was kind of challenging, but, you know, it was a fun challenge.
So now, my other question. What was your favorite track, Sam?
Well, I like the romance track a lot. It's hard to really explain why. It's a very emotional piece. It's kind of, you know, with the previous Mass Effects, the romance tune was, there wasn't that element of sadness to it because, you know, it's the end of the game and we're kind of doing a lot of foreshadowing of, you know, what the end basically is. And so I had to add a bit of sadness into the romance track. And I don't know, I just liked it a lot. The piano worked really well for it.
How about you, Chris?
On the official soundtrack, I think one of my favorite tracks is probably one called Reaper Chase. Just because it's really. It's big, it's kind of over the top, but in a Mass Effect way. And the scene that it accompanies the game is pretty incredible. And that was just really a lot of fun to work on, and I like how it turned out.
Sasha?
Let's see, there's one on the official soundtrack, I believe it's called a Promethean Beacon, which is more of an ambient cue, which is definitely a favorite of mine, just because it develops. And then there is a more battle-oriented track called The Scientists. I think my favorite, just because, you know, it's funny because you write a piece and you heard it so many times and you just never get sick of it, which I guess is a good sign, is the character creation menu theme. Which isn't really, you know, sort of like official theme, but it's just one of the pieces that I really enjoyed writing and that I really like.
So what was your ultimate goal with the pieces that you contributed to the score? Chris, do you want to start with it?
I mean, the ultimate goal for any cue in any game really is, you know, they serve the same function as film or TV. You just want to enhance the experience and, you know, play off the what's going on screen and, you know, if it's a cinematic, maybe the emotions behind it, you know, some underlying, you know, tension that maybe isn't obvious that you want to help bring out. And we just try to make the music sound as good as possible and make sure it's enhancing and not detracting, of course.
I read some comment on YouTube. Somebody said, I really like this. It sounds familiar, yet it sounds new, of some of the pieces that that person heard. So that kind of sums it up nicely of what we were trying to do. Just because we're coming into an established franchise, we didn't want it to, you know, go maybe too crazy. But I think, you know, just adding maybe a few new elements here and then keeping it into the familiar territory was our kind of mission with the score. So that comment just summed it up nicely, and I thought that was nice.
And how about Sam? Do you have anything to add to that?
I think for me, or maybe for all of us to some extent, the goal was to just make people cry bucket loads of tears. just to kind of help tell the story and to reach the players on an emotional level. And I think, too, it helps to write music that can stand on its own, like on a soundtrack. Mm-hmm. I always kind of strive for that. Like if I've written something that goes on a soundtrack and it just is kind of boring, it doesn't work outside the context of the game, then, you know, to an extent, I see that as not quite making the mark. But yeah, definitely first and foremost, I mean, it was really, the goal was to really tug on people's heartstrings on this one.
Have you guys all played through the Mass Effect games, and are you guys big gamers on the side?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I have I have not finished Mass Effect 3 yet. I'm still playing, and I would probably consider myself an absolute gamer, just like they are in the books. I mean, you know, started out with what Sam and I mentioned earlier in the 80s with the Amiga, with, you know, the all the consoles. I think I remember as a kid, I don't know if you guys remember the Atari 2600 with the summer games. You had these joysticks with that single stick in the middle. And so for summer games, you would have to, if you run, it was always about who can move that stick the fastest left and right. And I think everybody had like these marks in the middle of the hands from, you know, just moving the joystick like crazy. But anyways, those were good times. And, you know, going all the way through, you know, the PC games revolution with Doom and stuff like that. And online multiplayer with Quake. I mean, I would definitely consider myself a hardcore gamer for sure.
And then Chris, how about you? What do you play?
I'm currently playing my way through Mass Effect. But I actually never played the first one, but I did finish the second one and all of the DLCs. But yeah, I've been a gamer since Space Invaders back in the day. And actually where I grew up, they don't do this anymore, unfortunately, in grocery stores, but the one where my mom always shopped at had an actual Space Invader arcade game there. So she would do her shopping and she would leave me to play Save the World from the aliens.
Nice.
And 30 years later, I'm still not at a grocery store, but still saving the world from aliens. So
how about you, Sam?
I try to find time. It's hard to fit in as much time as I used to in my college days. I would just fit in a whole weekend plus and just do nothing but play games. But I spent a lot of time as a kid. My dad would just give me endless amounts of quarters, and I would go to Aladdin's Castle and spend hours in there on the arcades. I did play through Mass Effect 2. To be honest, I didn't finish Mass Effect 1. I mean, I knew the whole story anyway, because the way it was structured, we kind of knew more details about the entire story, whereas on 2 and 3, you know, we had a general idea of what the story was, and I have no idea what to expect with the levels that Sasha and Chris worked on, because I didn't work on them, which is cool because I like not knowing. Mm-hmm. But I did beat Mass Effect 2, and I'm working my way through 3, kind of slowly. I think Sasha is winning.
Winning the
out
race.
Of the three of us. Yes, winning the race to save the galaxy.
So video games as a medium is evolving, and of course, that includes the music. So where do you guys see game music heading, and where would you kind of like it to be? And Sam, do you want to take this first?
I mean, you can see video games kind of, to some extent, imitating Hollywood, which in some ways I think has worked well, because they've become more, I mean, games in general, you could say, have imitated Hollywood to an extent as far as storytelling and cinematics. And musically that works well too, because there's so much more emotion in game. I mean, nobody cried when Mario lost the princess to Donkey Kong, you know.
It's true.
It's true, right? So that aspect is good, but I kind of want to see games not copy too much and kind of still be their own thing separately. And I don't know. That's a good question.
I think I'm looking for, in the future, for video game scores to be more accepted, you know, especially award shows. You know, like the Grammys, for example. I mean, I know that they have an audiovisual media category where they put everything into one pod. Mm-hmm. But I would definitely think that video games would deserve their own category by now. But I think we should remember it took them, I don't know how many years, to actually give hip-hop their own category back in the old days. So I think that, you know, a little bit more acceptance in certain award shows would be nice. And also what Sam was saying, I think the Hollywood thing works fine, but to a degree, I'm sort of afraid that they almost get influenced too much by it. So I would like to see video games being a platform where we can be more experimental, where we can more push the boundaries of things musically, that people would say, well, this doesn't work because it doesn't sound like this movie or something like that. So I think there's still a lot of, definitely a lot of room to grow. I mean, for sure. And, you know, we're already doing the whole live orchestra thing since a couple of years. That's already, you know, something. If you would have asked that question a couple of years ago, we probably would have said, you know, yeah, more live music. But I think I'm just a bit afraid that that people are too distracted by the Hollywood scores, which are great by themselves. But I just want people to take a little bit more chances on in-game scores. Just my personal view.
What projects are you guys working on next? At least the ones that you can talk about, Chris?
We always feel kind of ridiculous having to say this, but our sort of boilerplate answer is that we can't really talk about anything.
That means it's video game related.
Right. But we are working on some, there are some games we're working on currently, and they're going to be big titles coming out this year, but unfortunately we haven't been given the green light to go ahead and say what they are.
And Sam, are you working on anything game related or not?
Don't give us the same answers. Come on.
Yeah, I can't talk about it. And actually, there's something, you know, if this interview happened maybe 2 weeks from now, I might be able to say, but yeah, there's something that's kind of in the pipeline, and I'm pretty excited about it, but I still can't really say anything about it yet.
You know, I can tell you what Sam is working on, and I don't think that he'll get in trouble.
Well, so it won't get posted till next week, so really there's just one more week left. It's good to know that you guys have work coming up, so I look forward to hearing what you guys have next. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to speak with me today. Sasha, thank you.
Thank you, Sophia. Appreciate it.
And Sam.
Thanks, Sophia. Appreciate it.
And Chris.
Yeah, thank you, Sophia. It was fun.
Thanks for having us.
And that's it for this week's episode of Sound Radar. Thanks for listening. Be sure to follow us on Twitter @gr_soundradar for more updates and giveaways.